Well, we're so pleased to have Hydrolite back. Hydrolite is something that we and my family use just about every day, and it is simply the best oral rehydration product I have ever seen. And there are many reasons you should keep some around. I got the flu. I relied on Hydrolite because I knew it would rehydrate me the way an IV fluid would. We all have heard about the flus and the diarrheas, and they all knock you out. Staying well hydrated is critical to getting over these conditions. Even if you manage to avoid getting infected, your schedule is half as busy as mine. Getting 8 glasses of water a day isn't likely to happen. And you don't need it if you've got the proper hydration product, Hydrolite. That is the beauty. Whether you're sick or not, you're going to absolutely benefit from proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water. Hydrolite does this better than a sports drink or water alone. That's right, better. And it comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade. It's available in a premixed powder. My personal preference is little effervescent tablets you can simply drop in a bottle of water or a glass of water, and you're done. You got it, and you are rehydrated. And compared to sports drinks, Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. I know. Don't buy into the hype of the brands. Use Hydrolite. It's a better product. I'm telling you, I had intended to invent it. They got there first, so I'm all behind them. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. Order Hydrolite today, hydrolite.com/drdrew. That is hydrolite.com/drdrew. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 30% on Hydrolite. We actually buy in bulk in our family, so we're going to click through. Believe me, just click the banner on my site and use the code DrDrew18. That is DrDrew18.
You are listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Emily Moore is sitting across from me.
That's right.
We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening. Yeah. That's right. Here we are. You live this life. Emily Morris, thank you for joining me.
So good to be here.
Good to be here. Like we used to get together every week on Loveline, and now I get to rarely get to see you. And we brought in our friend, Jason Ellis.
Love Jason Ellis.
This is extra good.
Great to be me.
Oh, we need sound for it.
Hello?
There you are.
Oh, there I am.
There you are.
Introduced me to the world of Jason.
If I was rudely not on the microphone, I was just saying how great it is to be me. Thank you, Mike Guy, for
listen for Jason on Sirius XM Faction. What's the number? 10?
Who cares?
Come on, what
it's
is it?
103.
103.
But I got a podcast.
Yeah,
Ellistronics.
Yes.
I'm working on that, Drew.
Good.
Because I'm already really good at radio, but I'm really bad. Turns out really bad at podcasting.
Really?
Because I started it with Tully, and then we were like, you know, we don't want to be, he wants to be his own thing. And I'm like, we don't want to do the same thing. So
Wait. What does he want it to be?
Well, he wants to do the Tully thing, you know?
Like,
I think he's sick of living under my,
like, pick up topics.
Obnoxious and just shadow, really. And me doing the, you know, it doesn't matter about that. It was just like, we weren't working out. I wanted to do something different.
Like what?
I want to be even worse than I am on Sirius.
So just wilder.
I want to say whatever I want to say, and I want to go down any road I want to go down. And these days, the Jason Ellis Show is its own monster, and Tully is a true talent on there. And if he wants to take the show down a particular avenue,
he should do his own podcast.
He does.
So that's that. He should do his own.
Well, that's what happened. Yeah, we just stop trying to make a drama out of it, Drew. We're cool.
No drama. No drama.
I'm playing. So I just
Tully's a super bright guy.
He is.
And I don't think he gets to do a lot of the stuff he should be doing.
He's doing a lot now. He's writing books for people. He's doing stand up. He's flourishing. He's a butterfly, and he's flapping his wings.
Good. And so the other thing about a podcast for you though, I feel like you could interview different kinds of people that wouldn't be so good for radio, and you could just kind of see where it goes.
Yeah, I really wasn't doing that. I was just talking by myself because when I first started talking by myself without Tully, it became difficult, and I became very attracted to that because when I first started talking, I could not shut up.
About yourself?
Oh, yeah, anything. I could talk for an hour about a hot dog. So when I started doing the podcast by myself, all of a sudden it was like I'd lost the ability because, the Jason Ellis Show has help. There's people helping me everywhere. So I have an instinct now to just point to people and you know, if I want to make a joke, I'll usually get you to stumble and then I'll make it on you.
Like, right.
So it's like you get used to doing that for
playing
8 years.
Something. You play off something.
Yeah, I think I did 8 years of playing off something, and then I just was like, oh, I'll do the thing by myself. How hard can it be? I'm Jason Ellis. And I was like, I don't know what else to talk about. And I'm like, wow, you need to practice. So
is it maybe because some of the stuff that used to fuel your monologues, you kind of talked out in therapy?
Yeah, there's when you're searching, You know, I feel like I was searching on the radio. Now I feel like there's knowing it, and to me, there's regurgitating, which I feel like is probably a curse for me, because maybe I'd be okay at comedy if I could tell the same story twice, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like if I've figured out how to be good at something, if you didn't catch it that day, it's going to be tough for me to tell you again.
It's funny. Carollo is exactly the same way. He will not – although I get him to repeat stuff because I think they're funny and I remember them, and I'll say, just repeat, tell the story.
Does he hate that when you say that? Tell the story?
He used to, I think. But now I think he has to talk so much every day that it's probably a little bit of a relief.
Right. Thank God for the story.
Yeah. Right. It feels more time, right?
I get that.
You know, if you're – how many hours radio during the day?
Not really, like three and a half.
All right, and then podcast,
and then I do a show with A&H, so it's Love and H on Sirius XM every Thursday and every Saturday.
How
was
that? That's interesting.
It's good. At first, you know, like we became connected because of our scars, obviously, and
of living through life.
Yeah, because she was abused, I'm abused, and that was our first connection. And then there was the reaction and what we've done to survive the tragedies in our childhood connected us immediately. And I think she just knew – I think when she first heard the show, it was just like, this guy has no filter and is not ashamed of anything that he's ever done, because you're used to it, but she never heard it. So, and I don't think she hangs out with many people that are like that. So she immediately was open to me, and I don't have – a lot of friends, you know? There's some sort of weird thing where I do the show and then I switch off. And
is she becoming a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing lately. I was telling you that some of the people that are my friends now are people where I'll get a laugh out of that probably for the rest of my life. Some people that text me, I'm like, why?
Why are you texting me?
Yeah. We should do dinner with me.
Did you tell me a story about, what's the Australian actor? What's the huge Australian actor?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Jim Jeffrey. That's some crazy.
Okay.
I'm confusing my Australian friends.
I have a Russell Crowe story. When I was 20.
Do you know Jim Jeffries?
Yeah. He hates me.
Why?
Because he's an Opie and Anthony fan. Anybody who likes Opie and Anthony has to hate me.
Why? Still?
Yeah. Yeah, it stings.
What the hell? It just seems like bad radio bits.
I don't know. Look, I don't know or care, and I want to move on.
All right.
I like him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy. Very funny, very talented. Yeah.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe went to a nightclub. Where's the dude that died? The Viper Room?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, this is right when he died there, around about
River,
that.
River Phoenix?
Yes, that's right. And we were there, and because I was an Australian skateboarder and I had a girlfriend. Very, very pretty girl. She used to be a penthouse pet dingbat or whatever. And we were there, and it's like a square thing. It's not a line. It's a square, like the velvet thing, and everybody's around, and some asshole or security, whatever you want to call it, picks people that he likes and he brings them in.
It's across the velvet rope.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm Australian. I've never seen this before. I'm just like, what is this? This is crazy. I didn't even think we were getting in. And then I go, and this is before he was famous here. He was in Romper Stomper in Australia. So I knew who he was, but nobody here knew who he was. And to me, I only knew him as this one actor who was, I thought he was a skinhead. I thought he killed people. You know what I mean? And I knew him as, his name was Hando. And I said to my girlfriend, holy, it's Hando. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's Hando right over there. It's Hando. And he looked over at me and I looked away because I was like, oh my God, pick Hando. He could kill me. And he comes over and he goes, you from Australia, mate? And I go, yeah, how'd you know? It's like, only Australians look at me like that, mate. And he goes, this your girlfriend? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you guys want to come in? I'm like, yeah. And then he gets me and my girlfriend in, and I'm like, yeah, Russell Crowe's the man. What's up, Crow Dog? And then he's just like, wants to bone my girlfriend. I'm like, ah, oh, man. I'm like, you can't bone her. And he's like, oh, well, bye. And I'm like, well, we're in, so whatever. But that was the end of that story.
Sort of an a-hole move.
Yeah, I don't know. That's they are a-holes, you know, like especially these days with all this stuff in the news. I used to think that I was like a gross guy. I like doing stuff. I'd do it with anybody, but I'd never done it with anybody who didn't ask for it.
Let's talk about the Me Too thing and how that's changing things.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that one.
Tell me.
Is that from the Indian dude fingering people in the mouth? Is that Me Too?
Me Too is anything where a woman found herself in a situation that made her uncomfortable and men weren't aware of it and kept going. Oh. Essentially, that's
okay.
It started as a workplace issue, but now it's sort of bled into general social functioning.
Well, it's a hashtag, right?
Well, the hashtag Me Too and hashtag that's time's a little up.
Look, everybody's.
But there's a lot but there's a lot of stuff happening to people because of it.
Well, I feel sorry for some people, but I don't feel sorry for that many men. I just don't. I feel like if people's heads have to roll for the sake of everybody finally realizing, the sad thing is people still won't realize how much women have to act or pretend or put up with us. You know, like I feel like even, you know, I feel once again from my childhood, I don't do stuff like that to people because it's one, you go one way or the other. And for me, I won't go that way. Like if you don't make it very clear that you're interested, then I'm not interested. I'm not convincing you of a goddamn thing. Like you need to be interested for me to be involved.
Yeah.
So it's always been weird to understand that.
But sometimes people change their mind in the middle and then people lose cues.
So what? I've done that. You know what I mean? I'm a walking penis, man, especially when I was younger. And you could be like, nah, I don't feel right. Okay. And nobody raised me either. No one was like, I'll beat you if you don't respect women. Nobody told me that. If anything, nobody said it. But if I was to like learn from watching, I should just sleep with everybody and no means what? Who cares?
Right. Has your Emily Morris sex with Emily? Has that changed this? Has it changed what you're doing?
I think it's definitely changed what I'm doing. I mean, I think that I'm glad that you're not saying there's too much. It's an overreach right now because I think everyone's concerned
I think
that there's
James
too much.
The James Franco thing is a little bit may cross the line a little bit. Did you hear that?
I heard about it. Or the Aziz Ansari thing. You think that's too much?
Aziz, you can drill in on and go, no. He was kind of sweating her, and women have to deal with that, and it's worthy of looking at that.
Yeah.
But James Franco, I'm not sure what's there.
What'd he do? Did he not do?
Allegedly, he was doing an acting class that women paid thousands of dollars to be in, and it was about nude and sex scenes and how to manage them. And this one girl says she was uncomfortable because he changed the script before she had time to really think about it.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
Okay. The other one is a woman that was his girlfriend for 2.5 years, who early in their relationship, he kind of pushed her head down and she didn't like that. That's it.
No girl likes
it. Wait, when they
push.
Were dating each other?
2 years, 2 year relationship.
I agree that nobody. Well, that's not true. Somebody likes it, but not most people that we know
perhaps
don't like
do.
It.
Exactly.
But
like, I know
but
your
that's
penis
no
is
need
there.
To be in trouble.
We know.
Well,
he's bad
now
in
he,
bed.
No Oscar nods. Golden Globe was a mess for him. He's losing. He's in a paranoid state, they say. He's isolating, feeling terrible. And he apologized. Doesn't matter.
It's disgusting. It is. People like that don't deserve that because he seems like a guy that really tries.
There's that, and it minimizes the sincere issues in this campaign.
Well, there are a lot of sincere issues, but I think if anything, and I'm sorry, I hope James Franco will have a comeback and it won't be destroying his career, but what I like is it's just getting everyone to talk about it. And before a guy pushes her head down, he's like, oh, maybe I'll wait and see if she discovers that I have a penis on her own. Like, we know it's there.
You don't
have to push her head.
I don't.
You're angry about it?
Because I talk to them a lot. People think that I guess I am a Neanderthal at heart, but I don't, you know, it freaks me out to know that my brothers out there were okay with that because I just never, I've been gross before. I've sort of said things to girls that, I mean, I'm on the radio saying stuff, but there's always a.
It's a radio show though.
Yeah, but yeah, and I've never really shocked anybody to the point where they're like, I'm out of here.
Right.
Like they sense it. And then I'll give them a little bit more, and it's never just – and it's also a joke. There's never like, hey, I am reaching for anything in the studio.
Well, you're in the studio making jokes.
You don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, nobody does that. Nobody should do that. Nobody should watch their friend do it. You know, like I don't understand – nobody ever did that around me. Like nobody pushed their
– Yeah.
Right.
I'd be like, what are you doing, dude?
Right. Let's take a couple calls here. This is John. Go ahead, John. Hey.
Oh, hey, Drew, how are you? Big fan.
You bet.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I heard you talking about Chernow's grant with Adam one day, and I wanted to know how your knowledge about addiction would have changed his narrative about Grant.
I'm confused by the question. Who's Grant? Grant.
Grant, the president.
Wait. Say maybe I missed the question. Say it again.
I'm sorry. So a while ago, you were talking to Adam about Grant.
Yes.
And you were explaining that you didn't really think Chernow understood addiction. I'm wondering you would have said to Chernow
what
to
I
kind
said,
of change that narrative that he wrote.
What I said was, in spite of him clearly not fully understanding addiction, the Grant biography that's out now by Ron Chernow is really a story about alcoholism writ large. Grant really struggled with severe alcoholism. And I think there's a little bit of a kind of a naive quality to how he writes it. Like, can you believe this? And they reported that, but who knows? Like, no. That's how alcoholics – it's exactly how alcoholics behave. So that report probably was quite accurate. There's a lot of like coming to terms – his – almost like he was coming to terms with the alcoholism as he wrote the book. But it was very accurate and writ large. That poor man was really struggling with it, really struggling. I'm talking about Grant.
Okay.
It's a great biography. It's a great biography. I recommend it highly. But, you know, addicts, alcoholics like thrilling situations. You're that. You're a thrill seeker, right?
Me?
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Of course.
Whoa, you can say F-bombs here?
Not really, but occasionally.
Oh, Drew very says occasionally. F-bombs. Okay, I see.
He's a doctor.
Only when you really mean it. Okay.
Right. And so he was like really turned on by battle. He'd been very calm in battle. Very.
I've always thought about that. That's how I'd like to die.
Yeah.
In battle.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because I don't want to, you know, what do I want to do? Die of old age.
Right.
That's sad, man.
Well, we watched Three Billboards. My wife and Susan sitting next to you here, the producer, First Lady of Love.
I'm here.
We watched Three Billboards. And have you seen that movie yet? Three Billboards Outside of – yeah.
It's
well,
good.
Shoot. Spoiler alert, everybody. There's somebody that gets –
Yeah, don't do it then.
All right. There's somebody that – how can I say this without spoiling it?
Dies?
Somebody that dies. Somebody that dies.
Somebody we already knew.
But let's put it this if you had a terminal illness, what would you do?
Like rage, man.
No, but I mean you said you didn't want to die of old age. You didn't want to, if you had a terminal illness, what kinds of things might occur to you to take control of that?
I mean, I would do like drugs and stuff, and I would steal a Lamborghini and probably drive it off a cliff or something.
Okay,
something
so you sort of do fun. You do something extreme to kill yourself.
Yeah, what's that with the two old ladies that are not? I'm not sure if they were lesbians. They drove off the cliff holding
Thelma
hands. Yeah. Were they gay?
No,
right.
So
there's maybe
that kind of thing happens, and I said
I think they were going to do it eventually if they hadn't driven off the cliff, but that's just me.
As that kind of thing happens, and I said that's courageous, I think, and she was that's cowardly, and I was like, oh boy,
cowardly what? So I should say why
for everybody
so that my
else?
Kids can
yeah,
see
stay
me
to the last minute.
Twiddling.
That's what you and I.
I mean,
see
you got to know. You know what it is? It depends on who you're talking about. You know, if you're a Viking warrior and you want to die before you go old, your kids will know that and love that and respect that. But if they doubt and think that maybe this is a front and you're shedding a tear before you die in battle, then no, nobody wants you to go there.
Albert.
You got to know who it is.
Calling from Ohio. What's
Hello?
Up? Hey, buddy, what's up?
Is this Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a huge fan, Dr. Drew. I had a question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
Celebrity Rehab, I know you treated Steven Adler. I love Steven. He's an incredible rock star. But I know that he's doing really good now in his sobriety and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know he still said that he still smokes marijuana. Is that okay? Because, you know, I kind of have a problem myself with,
addiction.
Really?
Yeah, it tends not to work out okay. You know this story. this is the Jason Ellis story, too.
I'm fine.
Well, give your version.
So, let's talk about it. You stop drinking and then just smoking.
I don't want to talk about it.
So you smoke pot again?
Yeah.
But you said you felt so much better when you weren't.
I mean... I felt like I can't – I worried about – when I didn't do it, I just wanted to do so much that it – I was – I'm worse. I'm not available to anybody if I don't do anything. I'll fight everybody. I'll race any – I'll do anything you want to do it. If there isn't anything to do, I'll make up a thing. I'll be like, guess what? What's the last time a 46-year-old – how much have you lifted? I'll lift more. I won't stop.
Yeah.
So now I smoke weed. I'll go home. You know,
and
I'm like
what?
I talk to my wife, hang out. Like, not, I don't tell, you know, I mean, well, I'm not like, I don't drool on the couch or anything. Like, I do stuff, but I think Drew's right, though. Drew is right. I could be better and I could not do any of it and I could see other people get more help, dig deeper. I got to the point where the people that I was talking to that were helping me with it, I didn't feel like I belonged in their community. And once again, I felt alone and the weed came to my rescue.
But
you
were so much a part of it for a while there. What made you feel outside?
Because it takes over a year to feel like, because I can get caught up in the hoopla of everything. And then I realize who you really are. Who I really am is not that. I ain't Hollywood. I don't fit in. I don't have anything in common with anybody. I don't want to be a big giant star. I don't care about my car.
No, but
I want to go home.
No, I get that.
What about the pot? Like, when did it work? It wasn't working, and now it's
moderation. Damn this guy for calling. What?
No, it's all right. Because here's the deal. Let me just be – look, I'm interested in people flourishing and living well and not getting harmed. Steven Adler has really serious addiction, and when he's using anything, I feel like he's – there may be the hill, the wall, the rock may be rolling down the hill in the wrong direction, and it worries me. That's all. He's been doing very, very well, though. So I know, you know, whatever's happening, fine. It just worries me because it still has the potential to activate that same biology. And, you know, if it just worked and just made you feel better, I don't give a shit. But it activates that biology and gets things going. If it's between pot and opiates, I'd much rather somebody be on pot than opiates. Much, of course.
Right.
But it's when somebody has a severe polydrug addiction, it moves them down that path. That's all that I get worried about. So, but otherwise, he's doing great, Albert. He's doing really well.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Dr.
Right, you bet. And he may, by the way, not be smoking pot. I know he's in that contemplative phase of maybe not doing it. But, you know, it takes what it takes. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like not people shouldn't get the idea. Well, there's a famous person that died recently who had a similar history of opiate addiction and stuff like that and was talking to Bob Forrest. And he said the same thing about pot. Like, hey, man, you do it your way. I'll do it mine. And we were like, dead now.
Because of pot, or because it led to other things,
and so just be careful. It's like if it starts to move, get it. Pay attention. If you start getting, like, you hurt your back the other day, right? We were talking the other day. You hurt your back.
Yeah, just don't.
Don't talk to doctors.
But I don't.
Don't talk to a doctor. Whatever you do.
What do you mean? Don't? Oh, because they give you pain.
Yes.
Yeah, but I've been in pain my whole life. I don't give a crap about pain.
I'm just saying. That's when I get worried. That's
like,
all.
I don't flinch.
Yeah, but I somehow think that
like it doesn't work. You know what I did? I do what an athlete does. My back didn't work, and I iced it, and I stretched it.
And
I used all these rolling devices, and I did all the things that I know from years of injuries.
Yeah,
I just don't
mask it.
I don't care. I'd like to be addicted to that stuff. That boat sailed a long time ago.
But I would argue, in my experience,
for those kinds of things,
I understand. But it would argue that smoking somehow the using of anything.
Mm.
Increases the probability that you're going to have that thought of, I'd sure like some relief from this. I better talk to Dr. Smith, and off you go. All I'm saying.
What about if I do break something and I take a painkiller, and then when that injury heals, right. I just don't take it anymore? Because that's happened.
Yeah, you have to be careful when that happens. You have to talk to me because you have to really sort of plan for how to do that.
I feel way better about myself now.
Good.
You're afraid I was going to out you or something?
No, I just feel like I'm always worried that just doing the weed thing is the bad part. If you're thinking, watch out, because the weed thing can trigger the other stuff.
Yeah.
The other stuff has been in my system a couple of times. I broke my fingers. Somebody gave me one. Next day, I was like, oh, God, if it really, really hurts and I can't concentrate, sure. But I don't want it in the daytime. I don't want it for free. I don't want a free one if I'm not injured. Like, I know, I'm safe.
You're still in
on
therapy too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're doing something. It's
as much
you're doing
as I don't, as much as I don't want to go, sometimes I go.
No one ever wants to go.
What's
then
that?
You get there. No one wants to go, and well, then you
really?
Get there.
I used to like it.
Yeah?
Well, when
yeah.
you don't want to go, you know you're in the right zone.
Yeah, exactly.
The people that piss me off and worry me more than anybody are the people that, like, love their therapist and want to go. It's like, oh, no, then you're being mistreated.
It should be
modestly uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah, because that's where it's at now.
Tolerably
that's
uncomfortable.
Good. And you let them know it's uncomfortable and you don't want to come because that's when you're bringing up the real stuff.
Yeah. When you go in there, you
tell
go,
you
I feel like shit.
Come,
I hate you for making me feel this
you
way.
You know me, dude. I don't I don't, you know, he doesn't have to push me too much to get it out.
Right. Like, he's not like,
yeah, I walk in and just go, here it is, dude. Tell me what I should do.
All right. Let's see. Got a call, another call here. What
your hair looks good, there? Dude.
Thank you.
What's going on with that?
How'd you do that? What did I do?
It just looks
better and thicker and stuff.
Again, I have done a couple different moves with my hair lately.
Well, I guess I should have gave you that call 10 years ago.
I know. We could have had finally consummated our relationship.
Yes, I was there. But the game.
What? What is she talking about? this could be good.
That you love Jason.
Yeah. But
she was on the air when you had that little contest. Yeah.
Oh, right. But more importantly, yes. I think all the time. Wouldn't it be a great television show, Jason and Drew, the Odd Couple?
Yeah, I do.
It'd be the funniest reality show of all time. And I think about it all the time. Huh?
He's another one who wants to have dinner with you. He wants to hang out.
Drew. What are you talking about?
He wants to have a TV show. Talk about dinner.
I just think that it's the modern Odd Couple. It really would be. I've told him forever. He thinks I've given up on it, or I'm bullshitting about it. I'm not.
He's got a strong
man. This guy, the doc, just cusses up a storm on Facebook.
I'm allowed to a little bit here. I'm gonna get you out of your shell a little bit, Jason.
I'm just trying to be relaxed here. I don't want to get in trouble or anything.
All right.
Chilling.
So you guys know each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too, Emily and Jason.
Yeah, he's been on my show. I'd
like to be on more.
Come on.
On her show more?
No, on her more.
Oh, on her more.
We had some fun times.
No, we didn't.
On the show.
But we had some fun time. We didn't have like.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
But we talked about
what kind of stuff you guys
She wanted to do so with me because she thinks I'm dirty. What? And I am. But guess what? I retired from gay.
You did?
Yeah.
Last we talked, you were getting random blowjobs
at
the bathhouse.
Stop, retired.
Retired from gay. Can you just do that? What happened?
It's just like they're just too sketchy and stuff. And
every gay encounter, or you just weren't.
It was just like
I pull
scale back, and I'm like, man, you guys just it. You guys, it's it, I have to have like a gay boyfriend who I can trust, or I can just not do it.
Right, because you feel like they were talking. So it wasn't so much the sex act; it was more that people were talking about it.
No. I don't care about talking about it.
Trying to scale back.
You know, if I would do stuff with guys, then I would get an STD from their mouth.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And I'm like, okay, now I have to pick like certain people, otherwise it's going to be. And then I'd be like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
And then I'd get it again. And I'm like, okay, that's it. You guys are all so. Because it's different for guys. I think guys are extra horny. Cause I don't think there's like girl. Spas where the girls are just like going.
No,
for
there's
it,
no
like guys do.
No, because women women put the brakes on it.
Yeah,
and this is what it would be like if there were not a women there.
You get aroused.
Well, they know what it's like right before they have sex. They know what it's like, in their head after they've had sex. When a guy's just about to have sex, all he can think about is having sex. He has no idea what it's going to be like seconds after it's finished. You can't think that.
You mean the shame and the guilt?
You can't think that. Like a man, right. Yeah, the shame and the guilt, depending on who it is. But also just like knowing whether that was worth it or, you mean, did she deserve your annoying crap to, you know, be like for that to happen? I don't know.
So now it's just you and your girlfriend, wife?
Wife.
My wife. But we do some stuff every now and then.
Right.
Are you still cutting?
No, why do you keep saying that?
Because that was the most. That was
like 6 years ago, dude.
You were
you
talking
bring that up every time I see you.
You know why? Because that was. So I was semi traumatized.
I know
that.
I know you took me aside, and I remember. I was like, man, he's seriously concerned. I'm like, dude, we're not. Trust me, I'm not. Like, make the pain go away.
He went into great detail on Stern one time about what they were doing, and I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. This
cutting
not-
like for because you were. Stressed out, trauma, or cutting, sexually
no,
cutting.
No, just sexually cutting.
Right. Yeah. You've done everything. So now what are you into? What's new? What's the latest?
I am hired to do stuff.
What do you mean? Sex?
I'm a secret person, and I'm hired to do things.
Okay.
And it's safe.
And hired tested. Like a gigolo?
Not really.
Paid for sex?
Not really. Oh. I sex do stuff that's way safer.
Like, are you a cam guy or something?
Am I a cam? What?
Cam? No, like a cam girl, but a cam guy.
No, that's too gnarly. No, I don't do that.
What is that?
I don't know. I made it.
I actually would do. I would do. I would do all of it. I feel like
people would love to watch you naked.
It's a bummer. Because by the time my kids are older, like, and they're like, yeah, do whatever you want, Dad. I'll be gross.
George Takei would buy the website just himself.
He ain't touching anything on me ever again.
Did it get weird?
No, I just think after hearing that he's done stuff to people forcefully that, and then, I mean, the whole joke was we were all making a joke for the listeners to enjoy it, but the joke, me and Stern both knew that he wasn't joking. That was the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
The joke was when I put that thing on the table, he turned into a different person, and me and Stern both saw it in his eyes, and I've told the story 1,000 times, but when I hear his pass now...
what was now, I'm not sure what he's alleged to have done.
Might have drugged some dudes.
Oof.
Yeah.
When he was younger?
And had the and had his way with them. I don't know. Yeah. It's a touchy one for me, and I was like, you know what? Come to think of it, I got it at the time because I was like, I'll do anything for comedy, especially for the Stern Show.
Yeah.
But that dude's not.
Are you in touch with Howard? You talk to him?
No.
No. Anybody over there?
No.
Really?
No.
I thought you were kind of hooked in with them.
It's weird because everybody thinks that, but it's not the case. Like they'll ask me to come on, and I'll come on. I think if I had another book and I asked them to come on, I think they would.
Oh, for sure.
They would let me on. So, but I mean, I think once Howard tried to reach out to me, I think it's hard to tell. But at the end, we would shake hands and say goodbye, take a photo, and then one time he was like, "So seriously, you're into photography?" I was like, "Not really. I'm terrible." He was like, "Oh," and I was like, "Oh, did he try to? Was he trying to?" Like reach out to me and I just completely shut it down. It was like, no, I hate photography. Because I said I had a camera and I was taking photos because I was like newly divorced. I was all sad taking photos of crap in the bushes and whatnot. And he was like, oh, you're into photography. I'm, no.
You just had Louis Anderson on your show. How was that?
He's sad.
He's sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I laid off it because I like if it was a different show, I probably would have gone in a little harder, but... He's definitely he's an addict, you know.
Oh, is he recovering?
No, he's a food addict.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But he talks about it the same way that Andy Dick talks about beer. It's very, very sad, you know. And I tried to tell him, I was like, "Yeah, dude, but like for me, I can't have vegan scotch. You know, you can have vegan grass-fed food in LA that tastes just as good as the other stuff. You know, for alcoholics and drug addicts,
we don't
get drug light, dude. We're just out. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're out chewing gum and smoking cigarettes, looking like a bunch of desperados at AA.
But in a way, it's harder. I understand what you're saying, and it seems like it would make sense, but just much the way I was talking about there being momentum with pot, there's momentum with any food for a food addict.
Right. No, he said he couldn't have any butter on anything.
Chipping.
I was like, wait, you can have a little bit of butter every now and then. Sure, you're a fat guy, but I got it before it came out of my mouth. Oh, if you do some butter, you'll do a lot of butter.
It's chipping, yeah.
Like it's cocaine. And I could tell when he was talking about it, I moved on to another subject because I said, you do look better. He has lost weight. And he was very happy that I'd said that, which made me relate to him because very insecure. We're very egotistical and insecure at the same time. I'm like, he's Louis Anderson. He's done it all. He hates himself. And I gave him a compliment. He was like, really? You think so? You don't know me, dude. But he was uplifted by it.
Do you watch Baskets? You've seen the show he's in?
No, I don't watch TV.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's a brilliant man. Yeah. I mean, I do know a lot of his comedy. And I've always thought he was a brilliant man.
He plays a woman.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, no, he was in there for that. So I caught a little bit of it, but I have not watched the show.
He says he does his mom. That's what he's doing.
Yes, and he's very attached to her.
Still?
To Dr. Drew him, I would say that he has some mother problems. And that has something to do with why he has eaten himself to that shape. Mm. And he's depressed about his mom passing away, and his food makes him want to come back, get close to his mom. Mm. I saw him go... He answered a question and his eyes went off down the path of sorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Where mine can go. And I was like, ooh, that's a long road. Hey, man. So jokes, tours, right?
Oh, boy.
It was tough. You could tell. But that's like he's a true artist. And that's an unfortunate trait of a lot of them. You know, they're dark, man.
Yeah. Speaking of Andy, I think he's been struggling a bit lately.
You know, Tully talks to him every now and then because Tully's, you know, me and Andy had a little bit of a more traumatic falling out because that's the way it is when junkies fall out with each other. It's got to be I'm extra offended because I'm looking at it from my angle and, he's extra offended because he's looking at it from his angle.
Terrible.
And that's the end of that. But
and what did Tully say?
That he's drinking again. And that's really all you need to say for me. I mean, I actually have a friend of mine that we own a boxer short company together, and he's
a what?
Boxer short, underwater, underwear.
Cool.
Boxer wear, briefs, skivvy, underwear. But he FaceTimed me at a bar, and he's sober. He's actually a recovering heroin addict. Who? My friend, the guy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, your boy Andy's here. And I'm like, he ain't my boy anymore, dude. And he's like, yeah, he's a mess, huh? And I'm like, yes. And then he sent me a video of Andy with a drink.
He's sober, I mean.
He is intermittently sober, but when he drinks, he goes out hard and dangerously. It's just, it's like, so I just hold my breath that he gets through it, you know, because then he gets sober for a while. And, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, people forget alcohol is deadly, man. I've had a lot of alcoholics die, a lot of them. Let's see who this caller is. We don't have your name, caller. What's up?
Hi, this is Sierra.
Hey, Sierra, what's going
on? And I am I'm calling because you were talking about your mother and how she would argue with you when you would give advice.
This is on the Corolla show,
you remember,
right?
You talking about that?
Yeah, yeah. No, she did not treat me well, let's just say. So I was very used to that. But I did what I felt I needed to do to be a good son. And so I didn't get anything out of the relationship, but I was giving because I felt like that's what I needed to do to be a good person. And she would call me and ask questions about her care and treatment, and I would advise her, and then she would start yelling at me. And I would go, okay, well, and finally I went I had two moves. One was I went, why won't you let me at least deliver the care that I would give to a homeless person? You're taking less care than a homeless person would get. And that kind of got through. And then the other time I went, you're calling me asteroids and you fight with me about it. Why are you fighting? And her response was, well, just because I'm fighting with you doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. I'm like, okay. All right.
That's something I've actually said before. Like, just because I argue it doesn't mean I'm not going to follow your advice.
It's and very unpleasant.
I don't think I'm as toxic as your mother.
No, I'm sure you sound very nice. But it's very unpleasant. It's very like – it's not – It doesn't exactly.
I've heard this.
It doesn't foster.
I've heard this from like.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There might be a little bit of delay. I've heard this from people I've dated before, and actually, my current boyfriend has. I've asked him like, so what do you want me to improve on? And like this is like immediate something he brings up. Like this, like, you know, you ask my opinion on something, and then you will argue with me about it. I'm like, and on my side I'm like, well, I'm just trying to like reason it out and try to get like the best solution to the problem, and I'm trying to also like poke holes in what he's saying, and like if it's solid, you know, then we can like go ahead and float on it. You know what I mean?
Oh my god.
I do understand what you're saying.
Drew does that to me too.
Right. There's certain people that's
now?
I do a little bit of you like
he plays devil's advocate.
Yeah, he does.
Insane.
But I experience it as I just want to understand things. Right. I just want to understand things better.
Let me be tone.
But I've noticed we have a son that's very much like that too, and it comes off as negative. Just no. And it comes off as a very as an abrupt no. But I'm not experiencing that. I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on. Tell me that. Explain that. I want to know.
He's a killjoy, right? Yeah. No, I sense it too.
So people get validation too. That's how they learn to communicate. You know, that's like how he's probably getting love or getting. That's how they get it across. Is they need to poke holes in or needs to be arguing with you. That's his pattern.
I don't. But you understand something? Like
that's me.
That's why what your mom did. It's not me. No.
I'm gonna. What's her call? What's your name again? Sierra. Me and Sierra don't experience it as arguing.
Right. I get it.
Experiencing it just as sort of questioning and
doesn't mean it's not an argument.
Oh yeah, I understand. I understand.
I just realized that we're not going to work.
You and I?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're going to work.
I've just had our first like falling out.
We didn't actually even have it yet.
I want to go.
You're anticipating we haven't had it yet.
I want to go out. And if you're saying I can't go out because it might be a little bit dangerous,
No. That's not what she's talking about.
What about if I want to buy like an expensive jacket? You're going to let me buy that?
That's not what she's talking about. yes. Enjoy.
Really?
Enjoy.
If you and I go to the Grove and will you buy me a good jacket?
I would be confused, but I might. But I would go.
We're going out with each other. You're going to buy me stuff. You're the top in this one, dude. You're the doctor. Come on.
It's more like
nobody knows me. I'm just some hot, sexy piece. You know
what's that, Sierra?
Do you want to run a little? Run it with Susan here.
Wait, Sierra, go ahead.
How you guys would?
I'll tell you.
So using the jacket analogy.
Yeah.
Let's say we had a couple of options of jackets. And right. I were asked, like, which is
right.
better?
That's right.
And they would give, like, their opinion on it. And I would go, well, what about, you know, rain durability? What about, you know, like, how about the length?
Yes.
How about the
Or we go, or why that? Like, or why this one? Or what I'd want to know about it. Yeah. I'd want to understand why you selected that one.
This, why yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you'd be like, hey, blew it. Why you fight with me?
That?
Yeah.
Why you don't value this?
That
just let me pick it. Just, yes, that one. Man. Really? Yeah. Why yellow? Why? Because I picked it.
You understand this?
That's
is,
why.
This is why we're going to get along. This is how.
Is
this,
it?
This is, yeah, yeah.
I'm not happy about my jacket purchase at all.
No, and Sierra, I think you're talking about something a little different than what I was dealing with, but I can relate to what you're talking about very strongly. Man.
But you got it from your mom.
Well, I was just going. Well, like, I would ask for advice from my current boyfriend Brad, and he would. Give advice, and then he would get mad when I started like trying to figure out why he thinks that. Like, what's the reasoning behind this? What's the reasoning behind that?
What's your?
She's a scientist.
I was going to say, do you have any scientific training or something?
No, but I've been listening to you for quite a while.
Oh, no.
That's good because when you have scientific training, yeah, you always want to sort of pick. You sort of because everything is. Not real until you sort of break it down and you know get to it
yeah.
and then it's still
yeah.
so you know.
You get to the bottom of it, give us a call.
But how do I like tamper that down and how do I like validate? He's actually listening to me as
okay
well.
So let me ask
yeah.
my wife how do I not do when I don't do that, what am I doing?
Just don't take the opposite position immediately. Say, you know what, you might be right.
Try to pay attention
then,
to your
and then go
to do
but
that.
You know, I might like this, and if it don't fight. Like, don't fight it, because it just, you know, if I like something and you like something,
yeah.
I don't need to have, you know, a scientific evaluation of every
Seriously.
Detail in my life.
We're bumming Jason's high. Thanks, Sierra. Thanks for the call.
I can ruin a podcast. Okay,
but you
let's
can moderate
on.
It, right, Drew? Like, as soon as you catch it now, I'm sure you guys have had this conversation.
Do we have to take a break?
He's not catching
it. Do we have to break? or
we don't need a break. It's
okay,
fine.
We keep going. No, because we had something happened the other day. You were watching TV, and I said something, and I said something back, and you react, and I was like, oh geez, I don't mean to.
Yeah,
I don't mean to at all.
When I go fuck yourself.
No.
Oh, she gets to say it too. Okay.
See how that works. Swear.
I'm okay. I get to say it all day at work. I'm around.
Well, right. I've been with him for 33 years, and believe me, I figured out when something rubs me the wrong way.
And to be fair, I don't want to be like that. You know what I mean?
It's so
like
have a, you got better, or are you just because you said you,
better.
You don't know when you're doing it? So how are you supposed to fix it?
Well, you got to pay attention. It's you know it's attention.
So you have got better.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not my intention that's what Sierra and I were kind of relating to, and I don't want to be like that. So you know, but sometimes I generally am curious. But that's what happened the other day. I was like, no, you took it as that negativity. I'm like, no, I really want to understand. I really just am curious,
right?
Which is whatever.
He softens up a little bit.
By the damn code is what I'm saying. What kind of coat would it be? Leather? I thought you don't want to be famous and have nice things.
What?
You want me to buy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I want nice things. I just don't want to like bend over backwards for it. I want to work for what I get, and when I get it, then I'll do whatever the hell I want with it. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass to get an extra shiny jacket,
right.
Which is what I've started to notice in the game. And if you don't I've been put in a position where it's like, okay, now it's time to kiss the ring. And I'm like, I'm not kissing anybody's ring. If you don't kiss anybody's ring, well, you're not going to be a golden goose. I don't really need to be a golden goose.
You don't have to tell me, but is there an example? Can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
I just feel like I just see the way everybody else plays the game that make it to the next step. Or you could be less able as I and make it further than me by playing this game that I just don't have it in me, you know? Probably the same reason that even if I had hair, you couldn't hire me for TRL. Because I don't – if you suck, you suck. And that's my gift and my curse. That's why the Jason Ellis Show, if you suck, you're going to know it. Even if the CEO was like, if you get across to this person right now that you think they suck, you'll be fired. And if I was thinking to myself, Jason, don't do it.
Right, you'll do it.
It'll happen. No, because I won't. It just comes out. I'm trying to say I'm not doing it to keep it real. I'm just I'm just like an asshole.
Somebody who really sucks.
I just catch that. But if you're really cool, I'll point that out too. I'm not like looking for to find assholes. That's why I'm a lot more selective with my guests than like Larry King. You know, I'm like nah. Why not? I'm like because what if I find out he's an asshole? You know, and then I got to tell everybody. Yeah. You know, and he might be.
Who's your latest disappointment?
Yeah, good question.
Well, you're not going to get too many because I'm really well versed in not saying you coming in. You know, I won't have you come in. But I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody. You know, I usually kind of call it these days, like to have high expectations of a guest that fails.
Yeah,
that's near impossible. Because if I have a high expectation, that means I've done some sort of research, and I'm usually 100% right.
But you got here by having to kiss some frogs, as Susan likes to say. And so, give me an example, somebody.
Oh, I did a terrible interview with who's the punk rock. What's the first punk rock? Sid Vicious.
Oh yeah,
not Sid Vicious. He died, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Rotten, right, yeah. Sorry. So Johnny Rotten comes on my show, and this is like, it's a music, I'm a DJ, man. And I know Johnny Rotten because I know the Sex Pistols because I'm a kid. And I also, at one point when I was a pro skateboarder in Germany, he was in a room across from me, and I was knocking on everybody's door. And when they would open the door, I would just walk in and grab their bar fridge, pour it into my T-shirt and walk out. And I knocked on his door, and he wasn't a pro skateboarder. He was Johnny Rotten. I was like, my bad. But you're Johnny Rotten, and he was super bummed out at me. And that's fair. Like, I'm a drunk kid knocking on doors in the corridor, so I didn't think anything of it. But I was like, that guy's he's pissed off all the time. So he was on the show, and he had this security guy who was an older guy who was standing sort of off to the side and above me. And I was like, are you lurking like that's supposed to be intimidating? And this is new. I'm new radio, so I'm still full skateboard. So usually if you stand behind me like that, that means you're going to punch me in the head.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fight back. So I felt like he was like intimidating me the whole time.
Yeah.
And then I said, so who's in your new band? And he just got irate with that. Cause I meant like everybody else is dead, dude. So who are the new guys?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
And he was like, maybe you should get your facts straight and, you know what I mean, and do your effing research and all this other stuff and stood up, interview over. And I was like, interview over, is it? Because I couldn't, you know what I mean, because he talks like an English guy, which is similar to an Australian guy.
Yeah.
And he got that way where I'm like, but I've had tons of people get like that with me. And I no longer care who you sing for or who I work for. If you want to go, I'll punch you and you know, that dude with the vest on that's been staring at me funny for the last 15 minutes. But everybody was not happy about that in New York. And then the LL Cool J one too. Someone told me to take it real easy on him, and I tried to take it real easy on him. And I said, you're like the prince of hip-hop. And he was like, nah, man, I don't wear assless chaps. And I was like, I didn't say you wore assless chaps. And then he just went off. You are, man. You be getting these balls. I'm like, I'm not going to get anyone's balls, but I don't feel like you should be directing any balls things at me because really come down to it, pretty sure I'll make you eat your balls. You know what I mean?
Oh, here it goes.
Next thing you know, I'm talking about
eating each other's balls.
I was like, I'm like, why won't you ever like do a movie without a beanie on? And you know, I started that off trying to be extra fluffy. And
I thought he'd be a nice guy. No,
I can't. I still to this day don't know.
Yeah.
I thought because he wasn't in my face, so I couldn't tell. But I thought it was like all hype, and then I was like, no, he's really annoyed by me. And then I wasn't sure again. And then it was the first time that someone had that's not true. Second time anyone had ever told me to get these balls.
So it wasn't the first time.
My MMA friend, okay, and another black guy that insinuates getting his balls is like a victorious thing. So I was understanding it, but I was like, we don't know each other. Stop telling me to get me my balls, dude. Because you're Hollywood. I'll clock you. And then what was the other guy? Dice Clay. He wanted to. I was going to punch him.
Another guy I've heard good things about.
I was actually going to punch him. I didn't. So I actually
could
shut
it be
down.
You? Could it
that's
be
my,
you?
That's what I learned this from when I was a kid. If you're going to sprack off, it's to keep people away. If you're going to knock them out, don't say anything. Because you don't want, I'm not going to bark. I'll just be quiet. And then when you get close enough, I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah.
And his kids were on. And his kids, he said, so the kids are coming in. You'll interview them. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, they can come in, but you're going to be here. You know, and he's like, no. Just them. And I'm like, no, you're going to be here. And I'm like, is this guy trying to run my show? Like, I respect your wherever you've been, but I don't care who you are. You're not going to run my show.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they're like, here, the kids' band. I'm like, okay. And it's the worst band ever.
Oh, my God.
And I know that all my listeners, you know, my listeners are going to go, he's going to have to say something. If he doesn't say anything, he's a sellout. So I just stop it. And I go, if you guys don't have a record deal yet, right? And they're like, no. And I'm like, yeah, because you're not ready yet.
Okay.
That was that.
And that was, and he just went off, off and off and off. And I looked at him like, if you want to go, do it. And he was like, you think you're a tough guy, don't you? I've dealt with people way tougher than you. And I was like, no, you haven't. Do it. And then because his kids were there, I just stopped talking. And he stood up and I was like, are you going to? Because if you are, you're not going to get a free one. No way. And he knew it. And he stood like 10 foot away and did – he called me asshole dick face or something. You know, that kind of softened blows up because I was like, man, he's kind of funny.
You sure this isn't about you? These guys are – you trigger these guys? You mean something to them somehow? You know what I mean?
Hell no. I don't mean anything to Dice Clay.
I'm just saying.
You know who that – he's like, you're just an idiot.
How did those shows rate comparatively? Do they get higher ratings?
People we don't like, get ratings.
I mean – oh, you don't?
Do you feel like more people talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's. But I'd rather be, like I said, not famous.
You don't pursue it.
If I had to do that Monday to Friday, I would kill myself.
Yeah. Stephanie, what's up, Stephanie?
People on the radio.
Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and I work for a county contracted agency. So I know you've talked a lot about opiates, alcohol, benzos. And, I mean, every day I've got clients that ask me for those and for Adderall and, you know, anything good.
Yep.
Now they're even snorting Seroquel and Wellbutrin and Abilify. I mean, I don't even.
Jeez.
I've been doing this a long time, but it's really getting bad now.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I don't give it to them, either, you know, they threaten me or whatever, which I'm used to, or they go to their primary. And then when I pull them up on the Cures database, which none of the doctors seem to do for some reason, and then I see all this crap that they're getting,
and that's just what
they're getting legally.
I know. I don't know what to say.
There's no way to like report them.
Not only that, these doctors. I know. Not only that, there is somebody wrote an article about Tom Petty, another doctor that runs a big addiction recovery system, and she was defending this exactly what you're talking about. And all I understand is that you have a lot of doctors out there do not understand what addiction really is. And as a result
– right.
As a result, they literally take the position – in this woman's article, she said drugs don't cause addiction. I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. She's saying that in a sentence. Those words are in there. And so if you have people that don't believe that chemicals are related to the addictive process, period –
then
forget it. How are you gonna? What are you gonna do? And so the benzo epidemic is the hidden epidemic that people don't know about yet. If you're gonna die of a prescription opiate, it's because somebody also gave you a benzo or a hypnotic. And it's a weird professional philosophy that has not changed and is not going to. The epidemic is not going to settle down until that professional thinking changes. And I'm afraid there are gonna have to be laws that legislate it. Which I hate.
Well, I emailed the Cures people and I said, I realize HIPAA and everything. Mm-hmm. So if I don't say the name, can't I just report these doctors somehow? Because it's not helping the client. It's not helping my job.
And then,
recently there's been they're manufacturing Norco on the street and putting fentanyl in it. And people are dying just like they have with the heroin and everything.
Yep.
And it's just,
disheartening.
They want a quick fix and they're the patient out of the room. They're like, take this.
Some of it is the way the interaction is structured, which you have about 5 minutes and you got to do something and the patient is freaking out. And by the way, it was a patient satisfaction survey. If that isn't filled out positively, the doctor could lose their job.
Right.
And they really don't have any experience getting people off drugs, understanding really what this is, what the motivational distortions are, what really is going to happen here when they prescribe these things. And where, because the patients can be very convincing.
Right.
And if you really don't know what you're – you know, sure. So I've been an uninitiated primary care doctor before I got lots and lots of experience. And I know what that looks and feels like to the primary care person that really doesn't have experience on the addictive side. The real other problem is –
I just feel like
– go ahead.
I really like my license, and I feel like maybe they don't like their license.
They're
getting paid a lot. This is
no,
Medi-Cal.
I know they're not getting paid. That's what people say. It's not the drug company. It's not motivated by finance. It literally is they think they're doing the right thing, Stephanie. I can't get that across strongly enough to people. They believe that this is what is right, and there's a certain amount of training and professional sort of positioning, discipline that goes into that, and it's just flawed. It's just wrong. And it's a problem.
Well, I have one really scary thing to tell you. Mm-hmm. One of the doctors, because I'm the only nurse practitioner, and I do the same job as the doctors, but, you know, I don't get paid and whatever. One of the doctors has a private practice, and he's really conservative, too. And he came in, and he said, in the last 6 months, he's had four clients come in and say that they went to their primary care for depression. Mm-hmm. And they put them on this medication and they brought it in and said, you know, it's making them feel better, but they thought maybe there was something else.
Yeah.
Guess what the primary was putting them on for depression for?
Suboxone. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Well, I will tell that one of the reasons I don't do addiction treatment day in and day out is that mostly what you end up doing is taking chronic pain patient off opiates and then my peers put them back on and they die. And that is something I cannot stand. And it drives me crazy, and I decided to fight it more, you know, sort of educationally with people and help them try to understand what it is. So, Stephanie, I appreciate you. Keep fighting the good fight. Just stay in there. Just hang in, okay?
Thank you.
Keep referring to the free services that are out there, 12-step, community-based, mutual aid societies are free. They are free, and they work. You don't – it's just – okay, anyway. So you don't have to do that. You can do what Jason does. You can go get individual therapy.
Don't do what I do.
So, all right. We got to wrap ourselves up here.
He can handle it. You can handle this problem, Jason.
I can handle my problem?
You can handle everybody's problem.
Emily, anything you want to tell people before I wrap this
all up?
Go to Sex with Emily.
Yeah, got a podcast.
Her
pods
are.
Yeah.
You're not skinny, Emily. You're perfect.
She is.
Thank you, sweetie. Yeah. I feel good. I feel perfect.
Yucko the Clown came after a little bit hard.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, well, because he couldn't think of anything to say to her.
Right,
like,
right.
Really he's like, skinny. Yeah.
Use you like a toothpick.
And I could take worse. Telling you.
Jason, thank you as always, man. It's good to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for having me.
And what's up for you? What's coming up?
Just working on the podcast. I'm working on this one-man show thing.
Is there an Alice Mania coming up?
No, Alice Mania's not till October. Mm. So, but yeah. You know, I mean, this one-man thing is like, I got to learn how to act. I got to do this weird acting class stuff before I memorize all this.
You can do a one-man show?
Yeah, like I got supposed to be like in theaters and stuff.
About your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you acted out, or were they?
I acted out pieces of it. There's video and photos and all that stuff. It's a whole
multimedia thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole big thing.
Sounds pretty cool.
I love it.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, or worst case scenario, it's not that big. But I got racing, and you know,
got the kids.
Yeah, things are awesome, man.
Emily, thank you. Friends of Bergamot are back. It's, of course, a brand that's made an impact on us here. It makes a variety of supplements. They use the extract of the bergamot citrus fruit. It's full of polyphenols. It's a supplement that acts as a natural statin and may improve a number of cardiovascular conditions and fatty liver disease, as well as potentially high blood pressure and other things associated with the metabolic syndrome. Now the makers are bringing you a formulation called Bergamot Sport that provides all the same cardiovascular benefits, but with some additives designed to aid athletes and those with an active lifestyle. Bergamot Sport may help improve stamina, as well as reduce recovery time and muscle inflammation. In an ongoing study, professional soccer players were asked to use Bergamot Sport, and the documented improvements have been impressive. I use the product. First Lady of Loves uses the product, the Bergamot Femme. Physicians and cardiologists around the world are recommending it. For a limited time, our listeners can save 10% on their order by entering the code DRDREW at checkout. That's Dr. Drew at checkout, all one word. To try Bergamot Sport for yourself, visit bergamet.com. That is bergamet.com. Or also you can click on the Bergamot banner at drdrew.com.
Be sure to talk to your physician before you use any Bergamet products. In fact, before you use any product or supplement, be sure to talk to your doctor.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.